I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think this spring has cured me of road rage. It's crazy, right? But there's a definite possibility that this spring and not being able to drive or put gas in my car for goodness. 7 weeks I went in between filling up my tank. It may have cured me of my road rage. I went to get my hair done on Thursday afternoon. I forgot or wasn't really thinking about the fact that it was getaway day for the holiday weekend. And I couldn't figure out where all the traffic was coming from. I mean, granted, there's more people on the roads these days, but it's still not quite back to what it was pre-pandemic in my state of New Jersey and on the highway that I live on or near. And so I'm sitting in traffic and I'm actually on the phone with my mom, Bluetooth, of course. And I said, I was talking to myself. My mom obviously heard it. I don't know where all this traffic is coming from. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh, it's a holiday weekend. So there's thousands of people getting out of town. Maybe you're one of those people that is actually on your way out of town using this as a getaway day or a getaway night. And it didn't bother me. I actually made it to my appointment on time. It didn't bother me that the traffic was backed up for one of the exit ramps onto another highway. When I left after getting my hair done, it didn't bother me that I had to sit and stop traffic on the way home. I smiled at the stop traffic. Actually, I smiled at the massive humans in the other cars. I might be a more patient human because of the pandemic and because my perspective has changed. What if I wasn't able to drive Princess Leia the way that I enjoy? What if I didn't get to take a road trip ever again? I will never take these things for granted. Now, I haven't taken a road trip. Gosh, I don't remember the last time I took a road trip. I'll have one coming up in August if all things remain the same. But the fact that I missed traffic is something that never, ever would I have expected. And I can't wait to get back to commuting. Eek! It's coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Final show of the work week. Happy almost Friday. Happy holiday weekend. And I can say that because Friday is the actual federal holiday with July 4th falling on a Saturday. So a lot of you are already on vacation, which is great. Here's what happens on vacation when you work in radio, especially when you work in radio at night. People are taking this opportunity to get away early, as I say. And so they're in their cars, they're driving, they're traveling out of their regular routines. Or if they're staying home and doing more of a staycation holiday weekend, well, then they're maybe not in bed the way they normally would be at this hour, or they're just on a different schedule with people hanging out, whatever, whatever. So we generally end up with a lot of listeners that don't always get a chance to hear the show live. And then we end up with people who've never heard the show before. So across this great country of ours, We're pleased to have you with us here as we ring in the holiday weekend and get set for Independence Day. I love this holiday. It's my favorite on the calendar. However, ever since I've owned Penny, who, by the way, is laying so close to my chair that I cannot move my chair because then she would be surprised out of her slumber. Ever since I adopted her, I look at July 4th differently because of the fireworks. Now, I have no idea why every single night there are fireworks popping off in my neighborhood and in neighboring neighborhoods. But whatever, it's so prevalent right now. Every single night for the last, it feels like for the last month, there have been at least a smattering of fireworks. So I will be home with her on Saturday evening. Still not a whole lot of options in terms of going out and having a, you know, having a good time, being back to quote unquote normal holiday. But I did get invited to a pool party, and considering our temps, actually our temps on Thursday with the heat index were up near 100 degrees. And I know many of you are in the same boat around the country. We've had very little rain in my neighborhood for the past 3 weeks. And so that's meant a lot of watering, really a lot of hosing down the flowers. I bought a house with flowers, and so it means a lot of hosing them down, which does lead to hose mishaps. Oh my gosh, wait till I tell you what I did. But I will go to this pool party. I will enjoy some food, some good old American food. Woo! And enjoy some company and also keep my distance, just because I think it's still smart. And while it will be nice to have some interaction, I'm also really looking forward to my first weekend in nearly 2 months without having to move boxes. I do have to unpack boxes still, but I don't have to move boxes, which is just a heavenly thought. So thank you again for joining us. You can find me on Twitter, ALAW Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. No, there is not a photo up yet of my new do. But it was really cool to go to the hair salon on Thursday afternoon. It was awesome to, even though I had to wear a mask, it was awesome to catch up with my friend Paul, who I hadn't seen since January. That's how long it had been since I'd gotten my hair cut or any other types of hair emergency. And so it was just so much fun to talk to him, and it was great. And we did do that. We're big huggers. So we did do a hello hug and a goodbye hug, which is something I will never take for granted either. And, yeah, I just got to sit there and enjoy being in a salon and hearing the bustle about me. And like every other salon and service company around the country, now they've instituted practices of distancing. And so there's plexiglass everywhere, and, you know, you're supposed to keep your distance. And they have limited numbers of people in the building at a time, but it was still a hair appointment and it was still amazing. And I'm so thankful. Paul loves his hair dryer, and I don't normally use a hair dryer on my hair. So he kind of fluffed it out a little bit and got a little frizzy in the humidity. So I did not take a photo. I'll wait until it's not frizzy at some point over the weekend, and then maybe I'll share one. But yeah, it was just really cool to feel like a girly girl again and to get my hair done. I know a lot of you women around the country are feeling the same. Maybe you guys who have gone and gotten your hair cut as well. So that was an awesome way to spend a couple hours on my Thursday afternoon. But again, there are no photos up yet. So all week, we have been coming up with ways to highlight this great country of ours. Four different nights in honor of July 4th, we've had various topics. Now, let me see if I can remember them all. The first night was your favorite spots in the good old US of A. You guys did awesome with that. We got answers from all over the country. It was really cool. The second night, we asked you, what are America's pastimes? And we did have lots of pleasant and positive answers. There were some of you who were cynical and icky, but we did have lots of cool, fun, positive answers. And I think my favorite one was eating and talking about eating, but eating and drinking and talking about food. And so in honor of that, you knew there was going to be a food-centric question. On yesterday's show, we asked you, what are America's finest foods? What are the foods that we're known for? The foods that you would recommend as American foods? awesome. So cool to hear from so many of you, again, all over the country, and the foods that you love the best and the ones that you would recommend. And honestly, in many cases, we'll be eating them this weekend. So that's cool. To wrap things up, as we head into July 4th weekend, we're going to ask you to fill in the blank. And again, I'm looking for positive. I'm looking for ways to highlight the great features of our nation. I know we are not perfect as a population, as a society, and the nation, you know, that as a whole, we have lots of issues that we have to deal with. So does every country. But I still believe there are many incredible features and incredible blessings that come with being an American citizen, a citizen of the United States of America. So I want you to fill in the blank. The best thing about America is what? The best thing about America is, and as I say, you can find me on Twitter, ALOL Radio. You can also use our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's starting to get real up in here when it comes to Major League Baseball, when it comes to players reporting to their facilities, when it comes to getting actual team practices. Do you know they start on Saturday for most teams? I guess that's a cool way to celebrate the nation's birthday. It's summer camp. That's the phrase that's being used now to describe this kind of 2 week, not even, well, it's about 2 weeks, but these practices, first individual workouts, more staggered workouts, kind of like the start of spring training, and then moving into intra-squad games where they get closer and closer to actually playing the first of their 60-game slate. And every team is training at its own regular season ballpark. Okay, so they're not going to their spring training facilities. They're not going to be sharing facilities with other teams. And when I say every team, I mean all 30, because Toronto has been granted an exemption by the federal government. So the Blue Jays get to work out at Rogers Center. For a while, it looked as though they would have to use their spring training complex in Dunedin, Florida. And players did report there initially. But now they are moving into their own bubble of sorts near Rogers Center. So that will be, of course, where they have their summer camp and their games. But they're going to use a hotel that's right there, that's right next door. In fact, it overlooks the field. And that will be kind of their mini bubble. So they've been issued this exemption to right now what is an isolation order in the nation of Canada. And the terminology that's used by the public health agency in Canada is, this is on the grounds of national interest. Now, it does not cover their regular season travel or travel by other teams. Okay, so it's relatively temporary. It's allowing them to do their summer camp. But at least they can train at their own digs. And then hopefully within 10 days, they'll have more information about where they're going to play their games. It would be great. It would be. I don't know if it's possible, but it would be great if the team could stay there and not have to go somewhere else. But that part, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So the players are actually jumping on charter flights and heading to Toronto this weekend. And it's, once again, extremely extensive testing to even get on the plane. The Blue Jays need 2 negative tests. And then they get tested every day after that. So right now, the U.S.-Canada border is closed for non-essential travel. I don't know if there's any way that this would be deemed essential travel, but that stipulation is in place until later in July. Although, the date through which this non-essential travel is restricted is actually before the baseball season is supposed to start. So maybe there will be a way. Now, I don't know what kind of quarantine requirements might still be in place, so that could still be a hurdle. But at least the Blue Jays get to be in their own digs, which is really cool. You can imagine that it would be hard for them. Not only are you're playing with weird, kind of uncertain, just this uncertainty, but also just these weird, uncertain, kind of, I don't want to say rules, because that's the rules are actually designed to give you some, some semblance of structure. But it's so out of the ordinary. It's so odd. It's so strange. It's so weird. It's just all uncertain when it comes to your circumstances. You don't know how this day is going to unfold or next day is going to unfold. I can imagine every time they take a test, and my grandma says they're not that unpleasant, but other people tell me they're awful. You can imagine that while they're taking these tests and they're waiting for the results, there is a little bit of trepidation, just like anybody who would go to the doctor and take a test and wonder, what is the doctor going to tell me? And you kind of hold your breath a little bit. And when you get a clean test, I'm sure there's some relief. But also, aren't you wondering about the people around you and what their test results are going to say? Every single day this is happening. This uncertainty and this kind of almost like walking on eggshells, it would feel like, until you get the relief of knowing, hey, we're all clear. But then you have to start all over again the next day. And then you've got travel and yada, yada, yada. And so, I mean, it's just, it's tension, a lot of tension around playing the game of baseball. But they know what they signed up for. Same thing with basketball, same thing with hockey. They know what they have to do. They've seen the protocols. I'm still kind of hung up on the 60-game season, and I'm not letting baseball off the hook. But it is cool to know that workouts are starting soon and that these players are reporting to their home stadiums. Now, the last time we spoke to former baseball infielder and World Series champ Jeff Blum, it was right after the Astros had been exposed for their 2017 cheating. And it was a very different type of conversation than what people are having in baseball these days. But Jeff is going to join us next, and we'll talk about a 60-game season, and we'll talk about all of the issues surrounding the negotiating and how ugly it got. But I'm excited to talk to him, although I think it's weird to put in perspective. The last time Jeff and I had a conversation, it was about the Astros and whether or not their World Series was tainted. And now here we are, and it's almost like that whole thing never happened. So Jeff Blum, who's now with Astros TV, but a former World Series champion himself, he'll join us coming up. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Fill in the blank. The best thing about America is. That's all you got to do is fill in the blank.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Oh my gosh, I miss baseball when that's the biggest controversies. Carlos Correa defending the Astros, ripping off Jose Altuve's jersey. And, well, not ripping off his jersey, but the whole process of it. And trying to explain why there was definitely no buzzer underneath his jersey. Oh my gosh, 2017 Astros cheating scandal. It was the biggest thing going in sports, say 4 months ago. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and that was Correa on MLB Network. Gosh, just to hear it again makes me laugh out loud, though at the time it was uber serious. In fact, the last time we had our current guest, Jeff Blum, on the show, well, it was all about the Astros and the cheating. And Jeff, you were so candid and honest and willing to talk about how this tarnished the Astros 2017 World Series. I mean, we were right in the thick of the commissioner's report when you last joined the show, and we're glad to have you on again. I can't believe that's where we were just a few short months ago. And now it's like it almost never happened.
No, that's probably the craziest thing is it took a pandemic to overshadow what was just earth-shattering news in the baseball world with the Astros and the cheating scandal, the Boston Red Sox getting involved in all that stuff. But I couldn't agree with you more because it was leading into spring training where there was so much hope. And then all of a sudden, the entire planet literally shuts down and we have got so many more bigger issues on the table right now that, the Astros scandal has really fallen down that priority list, unless you're on Twitter and you have one of those, spam accounts that you really want to get some anger out there. But yeah, it's crazy how it's kind of fallen down that list.
Does it still matter, do you think, in light of everything that's happened both inside baseball and out, does it still matter at all?
Outside of baseball, I don't think it does, but inside of baseball, it means something to maybe a couple of teams around there. But I think the more that, with the Red Sox information coming out and then that sealed letter that kind of leaked out a little bit kind of plays into the narrative that some people out there have had with, there were more teams doing it. It was just that the winning teams did it and won a championship with it is what concerns a lot of people within baseball. But it's kind of funny. I've always had, I've tried to stay as objective as I could with the whole situation being an Astro employee because, I played the game and we used tactics, not to the extent the Astros did in 2017, but, we used tactics and I've talked to pitchers and peers of my own who kind of laugh at the idea that they're getting so much heat for sign stealing.
Yeah, it was the story in spring training until all of a sudden the virus shut everything down. And then baseball gets into this different situation where they agree initially to the prorated salaries and the commissioner has the power to set the number of games. But it turns into this massive fight. As someone who played Major League Baseball and obviously works for a team, what was your perspective on that prolonged battle between the owners and the Players Association?
Yeah, there's a couple of different aspects to that because being a player, I understand when you get into a collective bargaining agreement, you're going to start to argue for your side because you're a baseball player, your career, there's no guaranteed amount of time in the big leagues. There's no guaranteed amount of money. So you want to make as much money as you can in a short amount of time because, there's going to be a lot of life after baseball. And then I moved into the broadcast booth where I became a fan of the game. And I'm starting to understand the inner workings of ownership and front offices. And the biggest thing for me was becoming a fan and then watching all of this unfold out in the public sphere is what really frustrated me. I wish there was more privacy to the whole situation because what happened is what I feared the most is that it would turn into a collective bargaining agreement instead of a greater good kind of aspect to this negotiation where the greater good would have been getting on the field and giving fans baseball and trying to give back something good and unified. And all of a sudden we had this divisive argument about money and, some of the things within the game that really frustrated me. And that's where I think baseball kind of lost its way. And hopefully if the game does get back on the field, it will kind of mask that a little bit. But I fear that we just saw the beginning of a pretty nasty CBA argument.
It's hard for the average baseball fan or the average American to identify with, professional athletes and the money that they make and arguing and fighting over millions of dollars in some cases, but not in every case. But from the player's perspective, as you talk about the CBA and you don't want to give an inch, but it's as though people have a hard time kind of wrapping their brains around the fact that not everyone's a millionaire in Major League Baseball. I mean, there are some who are very high profile and who have massive paychecks. But for the most part, Jeff, there are a lot of guys out there who are making the minimum and really couldn't afford to take too much of a paycheck like the rest of us.
No, you're absolutely right. And, I'm not going to, my experience in baseball was a little bit different than, the Jeff Bagwells and guys like that. I was that guy that played on, 1-year contracts for my entire career. Mm. And I was very grateful for it. And I did make a career out of it. And there are those avenues to be able to go out there and do that. But to your point, this season, with the pandemic, the pay cuts that are coming, there's going to be guys that go out and play these 60 games. And if you're on the lower end in the first 3 years of your career, there's a chance that you make $100,000 or less. And I know that's still a lot of money, But in the grand scheme of things, these guys are not going to get paid nearly what they anticipated when 2020 started.
Right.
And, you know, to your point about the longevity of the career, you know, if you're a third-year guy or if you're a guy who's at the end of the arbitration going into free agency, there is so much uncertainty moving forward with the finances of baseball that you would like to go out and make as much money as you could this year. And I think that's why it was such a sticking point for the Major League Baseball players to say, hey, you guaranteed us, you know, when we shook hands in March, that you're going to pay a 100% of a prorated salary. And now they're pulling back on that because they gave them $170 million earlier and they got to pay some of that back. And then they're going to get 33% of their paycheck now. So there's a lot of, you know, you really have to dig into the weeds to see some of that stuff. But yeah, the players, that's why they're arguing for it, is because that earning window is so short in their careers. And if you're, there's a particular part of your career that you're in those first, you know, 6 years now under the CBA where you're getting kind of suppressed as far as pay.
Jeff Blum giving us the perspective of a guy who wasn't a millionaire and didn't have job security past a one-year deal, and why potentially you can understand the fight of the rank and file in the Baseball Players Association. Okay, Jeff, I can't wait to hear your response to the question of a 60-game season, but you got to hang on. We appreciate you being with us. Jeff Blum, longtime baseball infielder, World Series champ from 05, now with the Astros as part of their TV crew.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
A 60-game season. And according to Rob Manfred, that was all we were ever going to get. We weren't going to get more than that as baseball fans. The voice of Bob Melvin, the manager of the Oakland A's, they get set to resume workouts with summer camp coming up on Saturday, as does the rest of Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and Melvin was a guest on Jim Rome. Right now on After Hours, Jeff Blum, former World Series champ, current Astros TV analyst. All right, Jeff, when I say 60-game season, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, man, just a full-on sprint and how good my body would feel after playing just 60 games is what I think about. You know, you can get on a pretty good stretch. And I think, you know, I've talked to so many people and you get so many different answers. And I'm sure you have one too. You know, in 60 games, so many things can happen. You can either create a massive amount of separation between the good teams and the bad teams, or you could have literally 30 teams duking it out for the last, you know, couple of spots in the playoffs. And what I hear a lot of people talking about is basically the entire, as a ball player, if you heard the term, we are all tied after 100 games. I mean, that would be one of the more bizarre statements ever made, but that's basically where we're at in the season, is everybody is in contention going into July. And it's just crazy to think about, but it also provides a lot of inspiration to fans. It provides a lot of inspiration to players, knowing that if you get hot for 60 games, because there are teams that have phenomenal numbers over a 60-game span, and even individuals will have phenomenal numbers over a 60-game span, we could see some teams either sneak up there and get into the playoffs, or we could see some players that we, you know, barely heard of all of a sudden make a name for themselves because they're hitting .380 after, you know, 50 games. It's going to be an interesting year.
Remember this, last year, the eventual World Series champs, the Nationals, after 50 games were 19-31. And so when baseball was considering or proposing a 50-game season, I thought, are you kidding? 19-31, that's exactly 50 games. That's where the Nationals were last May. So you're right, anything can happen, and it would definitely be a sprint as opposed to a marathon. Should there be an asterisk? We've talked about this before with the Astros and their World Series in 17, but what about a season like this that's such a strange aberration?
There's going to have to be some kind of notation, in the line that we talk about, you know, whoever ends up winning the World Series or whoever ends up winning a batting title. You know, the asterisk has really taken on a negative connotation, I think, and I think that's where the problem kind of sets in. How do you decide how to describe this season? I mean, obviously, you know, we know it's because of the pandemic, the COVID-19. But, you know, is it fair to those teams who went out there and played under these circumstances and put up great numbers and eventually won a championship? Is it fair for them to put that asterisk next to them? I wish there was another way to, or, you know, maybe we hashtag it or something like that, you know, to be totally millennial and current and put that next to the season. But there's going to have to be some way to figure out how to signify this season being different. But if you're living in a world of 2020, all you'd have to do is put 2020 World Series champions next to something, and you'd know it was an odd year.
Yeah. When you hear guys like Ryan Zimmerman, and he's kind of high profile because he's from the Nationals, and other players choose to opt out of this season, what's your reaction to that?
I actually applaud him for it. I know that, it's a big sacrifice going out there and saying you're not going to play in a season, because Ryan Zimmerman, you know, maybe on the latter part of his career, so he's looking at numbers that he could be putting up to extend his legacy. So that's kind of interesting in that sense. But I do applaud it, because you are sacrificing possibly money, possibly service time. I think that the Nationals are actually going to take care of both those things, because if you are high risk, which they should do, if you're high risk or somebody in your family is at high risk, you're trying to protect them from the risk that you're actually taking by going out there and playing. And then the Ian Desmond situation, you know, I appreciate the heck out of him actually articulating and putting down on paper, so to speak, how he felt and why he made the decision he did.
Yes.
Because it brings a lot of humility and humanity to the situation, which I think a lot of us lose when we know guys are making millions of dollars.
Mm.
And it really put, the father, the husband, and the person behind it. So I appreciate the fact that he did that. It's just a shame that we actually have to have guys do that in order for us to understand why they're making the decision. But I applaud those guys.
Jeff Blum from Houston with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So where are they now? Where are the Astros? And what's happening as they try to get ready to open up this 60-game season?
Well, they should actually be in pretty good shape, because we covered a couple of games before the pandemic, and it was right around the time that Justin Verlander was going to miss a start with a lat injury. He eventually had groin surgery, and he has healed up, and everything I've seen on Instagram is that he's throwing the ball pretty well, so he should be back, which is a bonus. It's given Lance McCullers, coming off Tommy John surgery, another 3 months to continue to stay healthy and get back in that Astros rotation. So your first three are going to be Verlander, Greinke, and McCullers Jr., and that's huge for the Astros. Also, their young DH, Yordan Alvarez, was having some knee problems in spring training, and it's given him an extra 3 months to get healthy. So I think as far as health, they should be at, max capacity is who can come up, who can be on the field and help them win. And, you know, just to take it a little bit further, Dusty Baker's a new manager. I think
right.
It's given him another 3 months to kind of figure things out and get a feel for guys and maybe game plan a little bit during this 60-game season, where I think managing might actually have a pretty big impact on how teams go about their business.
You know what blows me away, Jeff? We talked about how the Astros were the biggest story, and A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, both losing their jobs. Jeff Lue now, along with those two, getting suspended for the season that's 2020. They're missing absolutely nothing. And if baseball comes back for 60 games, I mean, come on, could this have worked out any better for those guys?
You just basically stated every week I send a text to AJ Hinch, because we've actually developed a very good friendship over the years. And I text him continually. I'm like, are you kidding me? Of all years for this thing to happen, you picked the one where we're only going to end up playing 60 games, if that. And we just kind of, you have to have some humor about it. And we kind of chuckle about it. He's like, yeah, if I was going to do it, this is the way you do it. He's won a championship with the Astros. He has a great legacy, even though he has a little bit of a stain being the manager of the team in 2017. But, yeah, he picked a great year, and so did Alex Cora. And hopefully those guys are able to bounce back like baseball can, hopefully, and they can get back in the game.
Mm. Well, without telling us too much, how's he doing?
He's doing really well. I know he's traveling with the family. He has an older daughter that graduated high school, so he's actually given him an opportunity to kind of, fill the void that this pandemic has created with the kids and be around them a little bit more often. And I think speaking for, lifers in the game who have spent every summer on a baseball field or traveling around the country covering games, is that we get to be dads for the first time in summer, and it's just, he is taking full advantage of it like most of us are.
Before I let you go, Jeff, obviously the virus numbers, they're spiking in some parts of the country, including some baseball markets, and there are concerns. Baseball's not going to be in a bubble. The players didn't want that. And so it's going to be kind of out there in society. Is there a trigger point? What do you think would or should keep baseball from either starting or continuing the season, should it come to that?
That is an unbelievably good question, and I think it's a question that needs to be asked. I'm not sure if there's an actual answer for it, but
right.
I'm a guy that is erring on the side of caution, and as nasty as the negotiations have been for baseball, I hope that there is a threshold where they say, you know what, things have gotten pretty bad, and maybe we shouldn't go through with it. But I think that baseball is being encouraged by the PGA, by NASCAR, some of the other sports that are going out there and trying to do this, but they are taking a serious amount of risk. And I appreciate the fact that you actually bring up the question, even though I don't have a legitimate answer for you, because you need to understand that, you know, whether they're a golfer, a football player, or, you know, a cornhole player, or whatever we're seeing on TV, is that these guys are taking a risk to play a sport they love and bring it to the fans that are out there. But, man, that's a tough question, because it is kind of frightening. If it does get worse, it'd be tough to see them, you know, follow through on this.
Yeah, it's a year unlike any other, of course, but a year in which we have far more questions than we have answers. And that's not just sports, but we're all asking questions, and we don't have answers, really, to any of them. Oh, gosh.
No, that is the exact point. That is, there is no truer statement ever than we know what's going on, but we don't know everything.
Right. Well, it's great to hear your voice. We're always glad to have you on the show. And I'm just so struck by the contrast of your last appearance versus where we are now. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Blummer27, one of our favorite guests, former big league baseball player, but also now with the Astros on TV, and anxiously anticipating whatever baseball will look like here in this season. We'll keep in touch, and we'll have you on the show again soon, Jeff. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Always appreciate the opportunity, Amy.
Of all the answers that I thought I might get from Jeff about the 60-game season, his comment about how fresh and healthy he would feel physically was not what I thought I might hear. It's not something that crossed my mind. But if you think about it, 60 games is not even a third of what they normally play. And as he points out, so many guys are playing through bumps and bruises and pains and aches. I know it's normally pronounced aches and pains, but and they might be able to attack it a little more. It's less of a grind, less of a long haul, less of a marathon, more of a sprint, as in ready, set, go. I know Bob Melvin said you have to start playing like you're in August. And certainly there's a mental component to that. I just don't know how quickly the guys can get into that mode. This is not something they've ever done before. So how quickly do you get into that mode? And as I said with Jeff, I come back to it all the time when I think about 60 games. Through 50 games a year ago, the Nationals were 12 games below 500. Is it an accurate depiction of the best teams? Who knows? Probably not. I guess not compared to what we would normally have and what we're used to. But we certainly know that 2020 is nothing like what we normally have and what we're used to. So join the parade, baseball. Better late than never, I suppose. I don't say that with ultimate conviction, but maybe by the time we get there. So, conversation I was having with a friend of mine on Thursday afternoon. He's going to be in my area, and we're trying to plan a day when we can get together. And our bosses at CBS Sports Radio are encouraging us to use some of the vacation time that you know, a lot of people haven't used over the course of the spring and the summer. I mean, that definitely does apply to me a little bit. Normally I would take a week off for Cuba in late July, but that's not on the schedule. And I have a couple more days off in August, but I do need to use some more vacation time. And so we were talking about when he might be in the area and when I might be able to take some time off to connect with him. And I had to think about the baseball schedule and when baseball's returning. Oh, wait, so I can't take off that Sunday night because that will be the first weekend coming off of the start of Major League Baseball. And then later that week, you've got the beginning of the NBA restart with these weird 8 seeding games. Weird's not a bad thing, but these strange 8 seeding games. And so we're not that far away, you guys. And I know right now all we hear about is the number of positive tests and the nonstop coronavirus testing. But it's necessary. This stretch right here, this week or so, until guys get into either their summer camps, they get checked in, they have to wear their name tags, or until guys get to Orlando in the case of either basketball or soccer. I mean, we still don't know about the NHL and its hub cities, but this is a really critical time. Once they get there and they're in the bubble, maybe some of the pressure is off, but right now, fingers crossed that they can get everybody in place and get to their camping.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.